don't have a heart attack. Mercy, what will we do? They say, it's Labor Day weekend. Tom been getting up to speak till 5 after 11. This could get serious. We sang quite a bit this morning. And what I want to talk to you about is just plain heavy enough that, honest, I didn't want to get up to speak too soon. I'm not sure, again, what all this is about. I'm going through an interesting season in my preaching. Been preaching for about 40 years, pastoring for 32, but preaching strong, regular, frequently. Started preaching in my early 20s. Actually pastored for 1 year when I was 22 and preached every Sunday, and then did evangelistic work for a number of years while I worked at Kroger's. So I've been preaching for about 40 years, but this season I'm preaching in now is an interesting season. And I've told you that all year, but it has been. I'm not sure what it's about. Felt very anointed. Have felt a lot of depth in what I've said, but I've wrestled and struggled more. Not being up front or those things. I've done that all my life. It's more messages have come the last minute, sometimes during the service. And it's just been an interesting time. I'm not sure what all that means, but asking the Lord what I should learn through that. I have very strong feelings about the message this morning. One reason why I labor over the message, please don't take this as arrogance. Don't mean it that way. I've preached enough. I could take the story of the woman at the well and make 4 points out of it. You know, you take speech and you learn how to just break something down. And I've preached enough that I can do that, but I don't want to do that. I want to have what's right for the right time. You can do a lot of damage speaking. You know, somebody can just come in that lost a loved one and you preach on something that's totally offensive or hurts them maybe because they're extra tender that day. I don't know that stuff. I'm not smart enough to know all those things and what's going on in everybody's minds. So the travail in preaching is saying, Lord, give me the right thing at the right time. In Proverbs, it says a proper word spoken at the proper time, how good it is. It's great to say the right word at the right time. All of us have had the right thing said to us at some time, and it just was perfect for that day. I think the songs we picked today were specifically maybe for somebody or for, I had that feeling as Brian was singing the song Recovery. And I don't know all those things, but I believe that God directs us in those as we ask Him and do our homework. And today, I just feel so strongly about this topic. And I'm beginning with the question, is your heart hiding anything? I believe that everyone will benefit from what I want to say today. But I also believe that maybe it's specifically for a few. I had that sense in preparing it. I just have the sense that maybe it's specifically for one or a few, but I believe everyone can benefit from it. Is your heart hiding anything? In a minute, I'm going to read a scripture and have it up here, but I'm going to quote it to you right now. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things." Been intrigued by that verse over the years. In fact, I feel led just to go to those three verses just for a second. I don't trust this iPad, so I always look back to see if it's there. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. I've always loved that verse. That is a profound verse. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I'm talking about the core of your spiritual self, where the affections are, where the will is, the core of your being. The heart is deceitful above all and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. We're going to come back to these verses in a little bit. Then I like this second passage. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. I always love that. When I was a young man, I was like, Lord, what does that mean? What's that mean? I want to know what that means. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inner depths of the heart. In the NIV, it says the lamp of God searches the spirit of a man. So the heart's deceptive. The heart is capable of hiding things. I'll come back to that. The heart is capable of hiding things, but the lamp of God gets down in there and lights it up and illuminates it and searches around and finds what's going on and lights up those dark corners. Then in Psalms 18:28, David said, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. And the last verse I picked, those four passages are powerful. The pure in heart will see God. So we want to be pure in heart. We want our heart to be right. For it's out of the heart come all the issues of life. Our heart is a wellspring. I'll come back to those verses in a minute. Is your heart hiding anything? Boy, this is touchy. I'm going to be walking a tight wire some more. I'm willing to do that. A number of years ago, there was a woman that I worked with and so deeply wanted to help. As I observed her, I was positive that this lady had been sexually abused. You just learn things over the years. I don't have half the alphabet behind my name. I'm not highly formally educated. I've got some education. But you learn things as you pray for wisdom, and as you spend hundreds of hours talking to people, you learn things. And observing her response to men in general, her response to me, just the way she conducted herself, her nervousness at certain times, I was positive that this lady had been sexually abused, and my sense was that it was pretty significant. In trying to help her, she very much denied that anything like that had happened. And I was very careful, very appropriate in how I approached it. In fact, the time I'm getting ready to refer to, it was her and her husband together that I was talking to. But I was convinced in my own mind that this woman had been sexually abused, which of course leaves horrible, horrible scars. We've had, if I can just take an exit ramp for a minute, we've had an unusual drawing, Pam and I, to minister to people who have those kind of scars. The rescue resort wasn't true of every girl there, but it was often girls rooted in those kind of problems, which lead to addictions. But I was just positive that this lady had been sexually abused. Boy, she showed all the signs. And I felt like we're not going to get anywhere until we can open up some of this. And the problems that are coming out now in her life, particularly in her life then, she was mid-30s, might have been pushing 40. Walking a tight wire this morning, sensitive topic. But it's very typical for people who have been sexually abused, especially at a young age, for problems to surface in mid-30s to 40 range. I don't know why. They seem to survive the 20s. They're able to stuff it. They're able to handle it. But for some reason, that magical age, somewhere 35 to 45, it seems like this will surface. And they were having all kinds of problems. And so I met with her and her husband one day, and I went a little step farther, very tactfully, very appropriately, in a very righteous way. But I felt like the truth hadn't come out. We're talking about, is your heart hiding anything? This woman appeared to be telling me the truth when she would look me in the eye, and I would tell her that I suspected she had had some ugly things happen, and I was very cautious and appropriate. But she was convincing, but in my own heart, I discerned that there was something wrong. So I asked the Holy Spirit to guide me and show me what to say. Don't think for a minute that we in leadership just know what to say. I've bowed my head outside a courtroom many times and said, Lord, when I get on a witness stand, I don't have a clue what to say here. Give me words. God's marvelous at giving you words. Trust Him. Step out on it. So I said, Lord, help me break this open. I discern that there's something deeply wrong here. So in that particular session where I met with her and her husband together intentionally, with wanted him there, I began telling her a story about a couple I had worked with years before where there had been sexual abuse. And I was careful and certainly not too specific. But I began telling the story. And as I began telling the story about this other person, all of a sudden, this lady started sobbing. And as I got to the heart of the story, she put her face in her hands and she began to shake. And her husband put her arm around him and said, are you okay? Are you okay? And she started rocking back and forth and she screeched out and said, that happened to me. The heart is capable of hiding painful things. And I cried and she cried and he cried. And we realized that there was a stronghold broken. But I honestly do not believe that that woman remembered that before that day. The heart is deceitful above all and capable of hiding things. That woman from then on began recalling things very vividly and apologized over and over that I don't know why. I know that I somehow knew that, but I just didn't think it was really me, and on it went, and all the defenses she had built. Sometimes there's something too painful to bear. Too painful to bear. I'm proud of the 10 individuals who are participating in the Wounded Healers book. And we may add a couple of more. Never thought be interested in writing a book. God impressed me to write the book when I was blessed with leukemia. And then 2 years ago, God spoke to me that we would write a book called Wounded Healers. I begin asking the Lord, who is it? Each chapter should be a testimony. Who is it? And God begins speaking to me who it should be. And we have 10 individuals right now that are working on chapters. Telling their story. Sometimes there's something too painful to bear. Sometimes there's something that's too ugly to recall or let yourself remember. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? But I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. Some things that happen to us in this cursed world are so ugly, so painful, we can't even control the fact that we somehow bury that so deep that we'll never see it, and we layer over it so effectively that in this case with this particular woman, a similar story had to be told before the candle of the Lord lit up the room. Are you with me? Till the candle of the Lord went into the inner depths of the heart. Why is this so important? Why am I taking a risk of someone leaving and saying, I'm not going back to that church. Good night. They address stuff on Sunday morning. You take a chance. I've been watching society for 40 years, folks, and it's painful to talk about, and it makes us cry, but there are issues that have to come out, and the root has to come out for you ever to be the person God intended for you to be. for you to ever find the place of joy and peace and fulfillment that God intended for you to have. It's got to come out. Can you be saved? Oh, absolutely. Was that woman saved before she confessed that? Yes, I have no question she'd received Jesus Christ. But the fullness and effectiveness that God wants to do in us only happens when we totally come to truth. And so being a church that many of you have said, I want to go to another level. To go to another level, you got to dig down a little deeper. I don't know what may be in anyone's heart today. This particular thing was the ugliness of sexual abuse. Sometimes it is. That's a vivid example because we can kind of connect and see how somebody could deny it to a point because it hurts so bad that they've convinced themselves this didn't happen. Something too painful to bear. I cry for people who are, and I'll say this just once, but if you'll receive it. I cry for people who have heartache over a lost baby. We've all made our huge mistakes when we're out in sin, responded to cultural movements and society, what society dictates, only to realize later that this is something I can never speak of. But when the candle of the Lord illuminates it, when he who searches the heart lights up those corners and we are exposed to truth and we begin to recognize those things and find purity and cleansing in the cross and the guilt is gone, we can then be powerfully effective. This is a message for people who want to go the distance. Can you be saved and have those issues deep inside that you've never said, oh, I believe this woman was as saved as it gets. But she found a whole new level of being used of God when she let the candle of the Lord illuminate that dark room in her heart. David said, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. And it is the pure in heart, Jesus said in Matthew 5:8. Who will see God? Is your heart hiding anything? Something too painful to bear? A year and a half ago or so, I told this story, I think. My dad was preaching in the middle of a revival meeting. And he came to the passage, he was speaking out of Revelation, where he was talking about the judgment. It says the sea will give up the dead that are in it. In other words, how will God call everybody? You know, some people have been cremated, some have drowned. God's going to call everyone back for judgment. And it says the sea will give up the dead that was in it. In other words, God will even bring back the cells of that body together for judgment. And when he said that, I'll never forget Dad telling the story. I was not in this service. I was a little boy, but I was not in this particular service. A woman jumped up in the middle of the service and screamed and ran to the altar. Screamed and just cried and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. And Dad went down there and tried to talk with her, and everybody just got deathly silent. So he asked the congregation just to be in prayer, and he would try to talk with her. And she told my father that she had taken the life of a young child years and years before. And it actually put that child in the river. It was amazing that God brought her to that revival service, and Daddy, being led of the Spirit, spoke on God will bring back. She thought that was buried and over with. It can be a secret sin. In the case of the woman I started describing at the beginning of the message, it was just something too painful to bear that it happened to her. But it can be a secret sin. It can be a happening, an event of our lives. something too ugly to let ourselves remember. As I said, everyone can benefit from this message, and it can help you in ministering to others, but I think it may be specifically for a few. It may be a deep realization that we don't admit. Let me go there for a minute. It may be, we're talking about things the heart can hide, a deep realization that we're unwilling to admit. I knew a guy a number of years ago, he doesn't attend church here. I knew a guy a number of years ago, and I noticed that he was constantly bragging on his wife, constantly talking about what a wonderful person his wife was. It was overdone, and I suspected that there was a reason it was overdone. As I got to know him and spent time with him and tried to help him, he admitted to me that he never had really loved his wife. And that overcompensating was, without even realizing it, trying to convince himself and everybody else around him, because he had a deep realization he had buried. And in talking to him and counseling and spending time with him, he poured out his heart one day and said that I'm in a relationship. The truth came out. The candle of the Lord lit up the room in his heart. And the truth came out that he had married somebody that he didn't really love and actually had struggled terribly secretly and never even told anybody, but was constantly talking about how wonderful she was. But there was a deep realization he knew in his heart of hearts, something he had buried as we talked, and the Lord lit that up. And as he came to truth and as he walked with the Lord, he was able to come out with that. And you say, well, that's not good. Maybe that isn't good. No, the marriage changed after he admitted that. That realization came to light, and he began praying, and I began praying with him, Lord, give him the love. Help him to learn to love this woman that he's vowed to. He's come forward. He's become so honest. He's opened himself up. He's admitted that he wants to love her, but he doesn't have the love in his heart that he knows others have, and he wants that. Help him to learn to love. The cursed world has stifled us, broken us, squelched us, God's candle lights up our darkness, brings us to admission, brings us to admitting what's really in there, and then he can bring us to truth. And I saw that man develop in his relationship with his wife, and I saw him a number of years later, and he told me how deeply, deeply he loved his wife. For you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Sometimes it's a deep realization that we won't admit. Sometimes it's a denial about a fault or responsibility for an incident. And of course, an extreme example would be that woman that came screaming to the altar. Denial about fault or responsibility for an incident. I know an individual who never told the truth about an incident. In this particular case, an incident where they were at fault and they never told the truth. I see that person from time to time, and I recall that incident, and I have a heartache for them. For you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What that person doesn't realize is that they'll let the truth of God light up that dark corner of their heart and not hide that, but come forward with it, that everyone will forgive them. And life can be full and they can be used of God. I know of a man in our greater community, counseling people over the years, working in the judicial system, going to court over and over and over and over and over with people, working with juveniles. You'd be surprised what I've learned. Our community is no different than any others. Everything I ever saw happen in inner city Chicago happens in Peru, Indiana. In our greater community, there is a man who has lived with denial about a death for years and years and years. That man has literally ruined his life. There was a death years ago that was not an accident. Wasn't anybody in this church or anybody related to anybody in this church? You don't know this guy? But I knew him and worked with him for a while. And he participated in the death of an individual. And they always claimed it was an accident. And everybody got off. But it wasn't an accident. And if you would have to ask me, I know this, I've known this man well over the years. If you'd ask me what's your opinion of that particular man, I'd say he's been miserable most of his life. God wants to set us free. God wants to illuminate our darkness. I don't want to have a deceitful heart. I won't hide anything. I want you to know me through and through. I am comfortable, tremendously comfortable with you knowing me. I want to be transparent. I find the more transparent I am, there's a beauty about that. There's a freedom about that. There's a joy that comes with being who you are and owning who you are. Please don't misunderstand this. I like myself. I didn't used to. The older I get, I like myself. God's either changed it or caused me to accept that that's how I am. I told Vince about something about myself this morning. I said, Vince, I've been saying I shouldn't feel that way for years. That's how I feel. That's just how I'm wired. That's just how I'm wired. And God can bring you to a happiness that you like who you are. I do. I like who I am. Would I change anything? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like just rearrange the thing. I change a whole bunch of things. But I've come to like who I am. That's not a credit to me. It's that God either changes and takes the sin out of it, or he gives you grace to accept who you are and what you are and what you aren't. And what you aren't. I don't want any hidden things in my heart. Are you hiding anything? Something too painful to bear? Something too ugly to let yourself remember? A deep realization you won't admit? You know this is what's going on, but you won't admit it. It's okay. God expected you to be human. He made us out of dirt. Just admit it. That's what's going on. When this man that I knew for years and tried to help that had the issue with his wife and realized that he didn't have the love he should have, he found a freedom when he came out and said it. And then we begin praying, Lord, put the right things there, not leave her and find somebody else. No, that's not the scriptural way. No, Lord, this is where I am. You illuminated my darkness. I'm coming out of my denial. I'm admitting that I don't have the feelings I should have. And I think this is an issue a lot of times because many of us who come from rough backgrounds, we met the wrong way. I won't ask for a show of hands, but my guess is we'd have a bunch. We met the wrong way, you know? And we married somebody from the local bar, and we met the wrong way. And you find yourself in situations where there's realizations and there's concerns deep inside, and you're thinking, I don't think I'm supposed to feel this way, or I wish I felt that way. God's about a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away. All. Pastor, that's a sensitive topic. I don't know. I think that should be more for the office with just two or three people. I don't think you should be talking about it. All things become new. God wants to change who we are and what we are. But when we're protecting every corner of our heart and we can't look anybody in the eye and we got everything stuffed back over here, God comes in with that candle and starts pulling up, and remember those little gray bugs that run everywhere under the boards, you know? And they run over here and hide, and then he pulls that up. And some people quit coming to church in that process. You with me? God starts pulling up the boards, and after about the third board, I have people that come to church, and all of a sudden they just quit. I go see them. Did we offend you? Oh, no, Pastor. I love everybody there. I say, oh, well, we've been missing you. Something wrong, or, oh, no, I'm telling you what, I'm calling you guys. I mean, we just love that church. Well, then I figure out as I talk to him that God started pulling up some of the boards. and saying, you've had this stuff for a long time, and you're not going to have a healthy marriage till you deal with it. Now, come on, let's deal with it. That's getting too close. That sure is a pretty song they sang. I love to hear Brian sing, but I don't believe I want to deal with that. Leave those boards alone. Isn't this fun? But the victory is to letting God pry up the boards and pry up the old tin and the rusted corners and go ahead and let's just go ahead and light that up under there and let's see what's going on under there. And it isn't very pretty, but I'm going to tell you what, when he gets to the bottom of your heart, you'll be a new creation in Christ and you'll look at somebody with tears running down your face and say, I'm not the man or woman that I used to be. It works. That's why I sell it hard. That's why I'm so passionate about it. People say, Pastor, we can tell you mean that. That's because it works. It absolutely works. Is your heart hiding anything? For the Holy Spirit to do His marvelous work in us, we must open our hearts and come to absolute truth. I prayed over the years for this man that's from our greater community, who was involved in the death of someone. And it was largely his fault. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I know someone that was there. But that's been hidden for years. One time, in knowing this individual for probably, 40 years probably. One time, I believe he came close to coming clean. I saw him at a gas station after a funeral. And I kept looking over at him and watching him, and my heart just hurt for him. He got done pumping his gas. He put the pump in the machine. He walked over between the three pumps over to me, and he tapped me on the shoulder. And he said, it's good to see you. And before long, I think it's time you and I had a talk. I knew what he meant. He knew what he meant. But since then, he's closed the door again. Extreme examples, kind of graphic examples at first. But I want to drive the point home, and sometimes you need to do that. It's the pure in heart that are going to see God. If you want to go to the levels God has for you, if you want to go to the mounts of transfiguration, if you want to experience the fullness of the upper room, you can sing about it, you can study about it, you can dance about it, talk about it, but if you want to experience the fullness of the upper room, there's that emptying out I talked about last week. And sometimes it's the ugly, dark stuff that our heart is hidden. And sometimes we're unaware because our heart has hidden it so effectively. But the Spirit of God begins illuminating. Is there anything that God is illuminating in your heart? Honesty and openness with God and others frees us, purifies us, brings us to transformation and healing. Honesty, openness with God and others frees us and purifies us and brings us transformation and healing. God just reminded me of one I forgot. Back to justification. Oh, it didn't change. All right, that's all right. Okay, we just won't worry about it. Back to justification of something. Sometimes something's too painful to bear. It's the first one I had on that list that isn't coming up here. Sometimes it's something too ugly to let ourselves remember or recall. Sometimes it's a deep realization we won't admit, and the heart hides it. Denial about a fault or an incident like this man in our greater community that I described. But then I have justification of something unjust. This is going to get real touchy now. And I've touched on this other times. Justification of something unjust. I have written next to this, poor parenting. This is a touchy one. But I think sometimes we're in denial and our heart hides. We didn't do very well in parenting. Maybe it was with a certain child. Please be open to this and receive it. I had to work through these issues myself, and I'll use an example myself too to help in a minute. So receive this. But I think we're real good at hiding this. We like to hide behind stuff like, now listen to me, I'll let you out in a minute. We like to hide behind stuff like, well, I was a good provider. By George, I brought a paycheck home every week. My kids never did without. But relationally, we were horrible. Okay? But we hide behind, boy, I was a good provider. Boy, I brought home a paycheck. And I don't know. These are sensitive issues. I've told all of you in the past about the long talk I had with Kevin years ago. Kevin grew up in a troubled time. He grew up in the heart of Scotty's addictions. Don't blame me, Scotty, for that. He grew up when Alan had his accident, and we had a 16-year-old that had to learn to walk and talk all over again and live in a wheelchair for a while. That was a hard time to grow up. We were busy and occupied. And I asked the Lord to give me another chance. I said, I feel like I failed my youngest son. Didn't do it on purpose. Well, he was just adorable. But I was busy, and we were pastoring a church of over 400 on Sunday morning in attendance, and we had four teenage boys, and we had a son in a tragic accident. I had one assistant pastor. I'm not blaming anybody for that, but I had one paid assistant pastor. We had a good-sized congregation. That's why I'd come up with the shepherding program to have help. But that was a very difficult time in our life. And I asked the Lord to give me another chance with Kevin. And when we asked Kevin to be assistant pastor years ago and he started helping at 19 at the church, Kevin and I have both said he and I got to know each other because he grew up in a difficult time. I don't want to be in denial and bury that stuff because it's tremendously healing to our children when we go to them and say, I want to talk to you. There's another one of my sons that I made a CD for because I knew it would be very sensitive for him. I was very willing to talk to him face to face, but I thought it would be very sensitive. I made a CD and talked to him a little bit about an issue that bothered me. And I said, you listen to this CD and you pray over it and think about it because he's a strong Christian, and then we can get together and talk about it. But I feel like I need to ask you to forgive me. It wasn't on purpose. And it was a beautiful response from him. Those things are freeing. Oh, man, that feels good. Get that worked out. This feels so good. You know why many times people are scared of dying? Because there's all kind of corners plugged up with stuff. I found out that you can look death in the face. That's the last enemy to be destroyed, and it is an enemy. It says the last enemy to be destroyed will be death. But you can look death straight in the face and be okay with it. I want my secrets. Now, there's things like your son. There's appropriate people you talk to. You know, when I went and had to talk with my son, I didn't put it on the front of the Tribune. You know, there's appropriate people to talk to. Bottom line, Lord, is my heart hiding anything? Is there anything that I need to work through? I think it's easy to be in denial about our parenting. That's a real easy one. Well, I did fine. Well, I had to work a lot of hours and I did all this. Yes, but that doesn't change the fact that there is a void here and it's likely that I am responsible for that void. And I want to own it and I want to face it and I want to deal with it and I want to correct it. Now, this is a win-win situation. Because Romans 8:28 says that for we know that in all things God works for the good of those that love him. Not only can God illuminate our darkness and set us free, but he can restore the years the canker hath eaten. He can fix the things that have been destroyed. And if we come to him simply, he will do that. Well, I'm going to close. These four passages were heavy on my mind. I don't know all the reasons. Oh. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. Jeremiah 17:9-10. Then the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inner depths of the heart. The lamp of God searches the spirit of a man. Proverbs 20:27. And then the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Psalms 18:28. And it is the pure in heart who will see God. Please receive that. Not new to some of you, but new to others. I pray that God will use that, and I'm going to trust that He gave me that and that it was for this morning, and I believe that it was. Let's bow our heads for prayer.